This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at chrisducker.com/Rainmaker.
This is Youpreneur FM, the official podcast of the Youpreneur Mastermind community. A place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author, Chris Ducker.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 176 of Youpreneur FM, the place to be if you are a personal brand entrepreneur wanting to build a long-term, profitable, successful business around what you do, how you do it, and the people that you serve. We've got a great show lined up today with the one and only Alex Pettit. Yes, the UK's number one live streamer and all things live tech is back in the house for a second time. It's been a while since Alex was on the show, so I'm going to be really looking forward to deep diving into everything that's been going on with live streaming. And let's face it, guys, the last 12 months on the live streaming front has been very interesting indeed, with certain companies going bust, certain companies just completely taking off at a whole new level, and a lot more that's been going on as well. Before I do that, however, a little bit of a reminder here. Throughout the entire month of August, we are celebrating the upcoming first birthday of Youpreneur.com, our private mastermind community. And so for anybody that signs up throughout the course of August for membership over at Youpreneur.com, not only are you going to be locking yourself in at the current price, and we're going to be putting the prices up on September 1, but we're also throwing in two fantastic bonuses, the first one being a never-before-released training workshop on how to get your podcast into the top ranks of iTunes by yours truly, and a completely free copy of the Virtual Freedom Companion Workbook, which has got a usual value of $47, where you can sit and actually plan out the delegation and the growth of your business, no matter what industry you're in, with the help of virtual staff. So again, to grab a hold of those two brilliant bonuses, along with locking yourself in at the current membership rates, just head over to youpreneur.com and jump on into the inside of our community today. So onto my conversation with Alex Pettit. For those of you who don't know who Alex is, he's basically the UK's number one periscoper. In fact, actually pretty much Europe's number one periscoper. He's a keynote speaker. He's a highly sought after coach and brand strategist for very, very big brands. And not only that, he's a fellow Brit. So come on, let's get a little bit more Brit action on the show. That's what I say. Alex actually is a very, very smart guy, and he's really got his pulse on the overall live streaming industry, and is always top of mind when anybody talks about live streaming or people that are utilizing live streaming to build brands, build businesses, and so on and so on. So now you're going to love this chat with Alex. I'm going to roll it right now. So Alex, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back, Chris.
It's our pleasure, mate. Now, I don't know whether you know, but there's been a long gap, but it doesn't feel very long because so much has been going on. But the last time you were here was episode 117, and we're now at 176. So it's a fairly big gap. But like I said, it doesn't feel like it's been that long because so much has happened since we've last spoken. Would you class yourself as a bona fide rock star now? I think you would in the live streaming world. I think you would.
I don't know. I haven't been going to hotel rooms and trashing them recently, so maybe not there yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and with full British tradition behind both of us, obviously, we should be trashing hotel rooms whenever possible, I feel. Yeah. We really should. Listen, man, I wanted to get you back on the show. Like, a lot's been going on. Obviously, in the live video space, it's really just totally transformed social media in the last 12 months. Periscope, as you well know, I was very hot on it when it first came out. I've seen the numbers drop a little the last 6 months. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a few other things. Snapchat just blowing up like mad. Facebook Live as well. But what's been going on with you? Where's your focus been yourself building what you're building?
Yeah, sure. I think I'm trying to remember where back on episode 117 where I was compared to now, but it's a couple of different tentacles and strands for me. You know, Periscope is where my audience is at. I have just under a quarter of a million followers there, so I'm still what I would class as a daily broadcaster on Periscope. Mm-hmm. But now I think since we spoke back then, it's been about monetizing it more. So both through brand integration with my Periscope broadcast, but also what I mostly deal in now is the consultation with brands and broadcasters, both for Periscope, Facebook Live, and some Snapchat as well.
That's
so
cool.
It's gone from being, you know, I love broadcasting. I have always had a love for broadcasting. And for me, I found a way to monetize that through my broadcast and also through consultation.
So, I mean, ultimately, I mean, let's look at the numbers here. 247,996 followers, to be precise, at this point. 101,782,786 hearts. That's a lot of love, Alex. Let's not beat around the bush. That's a lot of hearts. 100 million hearts is mad. How does that? I mean,
I can never picture that.
I know. But yeah. Let me ask you this: like, how does it feel to have that many people following you on this live video platform? Even though it's taken a bit of a dip recently, but I mean, it's still an absolute shedload of people.
I can never put it into context. I remember back in the early days, like Periscope has been around for ages. But, right. You know, the first few months, I think I hit, you know, when I hit around 30,000, I went to the O2 Arena and watched a darts match. And I remember sitting at the darts match thinking, wow, if all my followers came here, we could pretty much fill this stadium. And that was at 30,000 and now approaching a quarter of a million. It's impossible to kind of contextualize it. It's really humbling. I said I enjoyed broadcasting and that's why I keep doing it. And as long as people enjoy watching me, then I'll keep doing it.
Well, I think what it is as well, you know, you've been very acutely aware of the power of the personal brand and what that has meant to you and your followers as well. I remember when I first started using Periscope myself, like a lot of broadcasters that were getting on the platform in the early, you know, the first few months, I think I did my first broadcast in April. So last year. So, you know, they'd only launched a few weeks prior and, I remember watching a few of your broadcasts and thinking that's how you do it because you were interacting, you were engaging properly, and you didn't mind asking for the hearts and asking for the follows and all the rest of it, which is half the battle, obviously, right? So, I mean, where do you see things now then? I mean, you know, again, the early days, literally 14, 15 months ago. But I mean, like, where do you feel Periscope is now in the broader, you know, kind of the broader spectrum of live video as a whole?
I think it's a really interesting space. You know, for example, I've just come back from VidCon, which is the world's largest online kind of video convention that happens in Anaheim every year. And I kind of came away with two learnings from that. From being in the convention space, it's full of all these, you know, brands, whether it be video brands or most interestingly, this year it was dominated as well by live streaming brands and also virtual reality brands as well. So I think coming away from VidCon, I really felt, number one, that live is a thing. It's a thing that is really up and coming now. And you know, people, when Periscope first came out, was like, oh, it's just a fad. It's not going to take off. But I must have probably spoken to maybe between 20 or 25 different live streaming companies and startups within 2 days at VidCon. And that, for the same reason, you know, it was like, okay, great, live's a thing, I'm invested in the right thing. But then there was also, you know, there are 25, maybe even 30 companies investing in live and really pushing different features. And some of them, you know, I'm invested in Periscope because that's just the app that I went on. But there's some features that I saw in apps like, there's one called Live.me, there's, you know, Lively as well, which is Musical.ly's live version.
Okay.
All these apps that have great new features, some of them have even found ways of monetizing and allowing the broadcasters to monetize. And those are things that I think, you know, if you ask me, you know, what does Periscope do? What's the future for Periscope? I think they have to look at these apps and think, you know, how can we continue to build for the community and continue to build a great app. But also, I think monetization has to be on the cards soon somewhere.
Yeah, I think you're right as well. And I've always felt that Periscope was missing out. And obviously, I understand when you launch a new app or a new piece of software or whatever, that you want to sort of take it slowly but surely and build it out properly and get people involved and all the rest of it. But I've always felt that they were kind of dropping the ball a little bit with not allowing broadcasters to monetize in some way, shape, or form. And yeah. I remember the last time you were on the show, we were talking about, you know, the majority of the broadcasters I know, or I knew back then, I still know now, we'd have no problem shelling out a few hundred bucks a month to have a real actual CTA button pop up on the screen and to send people to our websites and all the rest of it. I mean, it would be fantastic. And truth be told, if there was something like that that we could do, I probably would still be on there every day just like you are. But, you know, it's been a little bit hit and miss. It's been a little hit and miss. And I think that's where they've lacked a little bit. Whereas, you know, Facebook Live has just been coming out with all these features left, right, and center. And it's now that it's across the board and more features coming as well. I want to talk to you about them in a minute. But where do you see Periscope in relation now to Facebook Live? Because I don't know, man. It's, you know, a lot of people kind of feel like it might maybe be slowly dying a little bit of a death, Periscope. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the same broadcast titles as you where it's like, is Periscope dying? and, you know, Facebook has definitely spurred that conversation. You know, what I would say is when I work with brands, I mainly work with them on Facebook Live. But one of the key reasons is that because the brands I work with have already got, let's say, a million plus page likes.
Sure, there you
go. And so it makes... You know, it makes more sense for them to take advantage of those 1 million people that they've already got and broadcast to those on Facebook than it does to start from zero on Twitter, on Periscope, despite the fact that, you know, Periscopes do autoplay in Twitter profiles. So there's advantages and disadvantages to both. I think, as you say, and we're going to touch on it in a bit, Facebook is really getting the gear going right now. They are pushing out new features. They've got a load of features already which Periscope don't have and are extremely useful for broadcasters and brands as well. I don't think Periscope is dying though. I just think they're taking their time to observe how the users are using their app and then creating features for them. The real key question is that and will be, can they do something about the viewer numbers? Because we've both spoken about it. We've seen a drop in the viewer numbers on Periscope. If you could just go and look at a Facebook broadcast, you know, they're often 10, 20 times higher. And, you know, sometimes that's because everyone talks about the way that Facebook measures their viewer numbers by basically, if you just look at a Facebook video for a second or two, it counts as a view.
Sure, yeah.
Periscope, you have to physically click into it and be watching. So, you know, are those Facebook numbers way overhyped?
I think they are
actually really watching them.
Yeah. Exactly. I think they are overhyped to a certain degree because, yes, particularly some people have the videos autoplay. You know, you can toggle that on and off, right? So I think to a certain degree, some of the numbers are a little bit squiffed. But ultimately, though, I think where Facebook is winning the battle currently anyway is with the overall reach. And the fact that, you know, people can share and it goes straight into the timeline, which is then shown to everyone that they're friends with, whereas Periscope doesn't have that kind of steroid effect to going viral. Maybe they've got to build it in somehow. And you and I have talked before in the past, like, I want to see channels, man, on Periscope. You know, like, I want to see a business channel with the top 10 broadcasts, you know, listed very clearly there. And then, you know, I want to see an arts channel and a travel channel. I think these things would really help Periscope in the long term. Let's talk new features with Facebook Live, because there's a lot of very, very cool stuff coming, right?
Yeah, I mean, so for me, I work predominantly with broadcasters as well as brands, and they're all about, you know, polished shows. They want to produce something that looks good. And so with Facebook have their API access and allow you to live stream not just from your phone or not just from a drone or a GoPro like Periscope, but actually from any live streaming kit, and you can have on-screen graphics, you can have, you know, pre-recorded videos fed into the broadcast. So some of the best broadcasts I've seen, just to take an example from BuzzFeed recently during the EU referendum, they did a great Facebook broadcast, Facebook live broadcast, where they had a live on-screen graphic showing people's comments and a live on-screen graphic showing people, like a swingometer, let's say, of they were using the live data that was coming in to show how people were reacting to the live conversation. And it just, what you found was it was incredibly interactive, and you ended up watching it for a lot longer because, you know, it was just this really interactive but quality broadcast. So that's just one of the new features. And they're rolling out a number. Mark Zuckerberg hasn't made it a secret that he is investing heavily, and Facebook are investing heavily in this live video.
Yeah, feature. It's going to be interesting. I mean, like when Periscope came out, everybody was all about, oh, it's like your own TV channel in your pocket.
Yeah.
But with Facebook Live, particularly with their API, it's like, this is like your own TV studio in your pocket to a certain degree, right? Let's talk a little bit about how you've continued to build your brand then. Obviously, you say you work with a lot of broadcasters, a lot of brands, and we're talking big names. You know, these are not, you know, these are large companies, big companies, Sky, Nike, HP, BBC, these people. How are you going to be focusing now as ultimately a personal brand? You're a consultant, you're a coach, you're a, you know, an expert in the field. How are you going to continue to build your own brand with live video at the forefront of everything?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a question that even today I'm sitting down and still trying to work out. I haven't quite got the 100% answer yet. But for me, it is continuing to work with and reach out to a number of brands who, what we have to understand, this is still very early stages. There are a number of large brands out there that are still far too scared and don't have the education right now to want to take the risk with live. But actually, it is the risk worth taking because so much can be benefited from it. And, you know, we both experienced it. The fact that this live and very interactive medium means that you can create communities far easier than you have been able to in the past on Facebook or on Twitter. And so I think, you know, I always say 80% of my job is actually educating the brands I work with. Once I've got past that education stage and teaching them what it is and how they can benefit from it, then really it's the fun stuff to actually sit down, create campaigns with them, and then action those campaigns. And, you know, take this weekend, for example, I've just got back from Formula E working with DS Virgin Racing, and we had an incredible Snapchat campaign where we got featured by Snapchat UK, and one of our snaps, or most of our snaps actually from the weekend, have now had over 100,000 views. The education part, yeah, but huge numbers. You know, we were featured across the UK. So once that education part is out of the way, it's then the fun stuff is sitting down and saying, okay, what's the creative content that people want to watch and that we can produce?
Yeah, no, I love it. I'm glad you bring up Snapchat because, you know, we've discussed it a little bit on the show before. We had Gary Vaynerchuk on the show a little while ago. I also sat down with him in San Diego back in April for one of our Youpreneur chit chat videos for the community as well. And Gary really is the guy who has fundamentally turned the entrepreneurial world onto Snapchat.
Yeah.
You know, he and I have joked many a times over the fact that, you know, I had other good, you know, big names in the entrepreneurial online business space trying to show me how to use Snapchat for a year and a half before literally last Christmas, my 17-year-old daughter finally got through to me on it. and I mean, yeah, that's just maybe sometimes the way things go with it, right? But I mean, this I think for the personal brand is going to be stronger than Twitter ever was. The fact that, you know, it's obviously it's visual. Yes, you can do it. Everything with pretty much with Twitter now as well. But I think because of the fact that it's new, well, it's not necessarily new, but because now there's a huge buzz about it, people are now starting to engage more with it. I mean, I get way more engagement on my Snapchat stories than I do on my Twitter feed anymore. And I got 60,000 plus people follow me on Twitter. So, where do you see that developing from a personal brand angle?
I just think, if you want to reach a young demographic, you have to be on Snapchat. And I said to a brand the other day, or in a conference the other day, if your social media people have not told you to get on Snapchat, sack them. They're doing something wrong. Yeah, because if you're a brand right now, you should be experimenting with Snapchat 100%. And if you're not, you're missing out on a huge opportunity to reach a young audience. 37% of their users are aged between 18 and 24. In fact, I think it's something like 85% are aged between 13 and 34. Snapchat is one of the fastest growing platforms right now. So for any brand or any business or entrepreneur that is looking to reach a young demographic, Snapchat is the way to go. But also it's an incredibly creative platform as well.
Mm.
And I think the ability to, number one, tell a story and I say tell a story, but there's always a way to kind of feature your brand within that story as well. The ability to do that on Snapchat is so able and so high. But also, the ability, again, Snapchat is a way to tell a story, but also to chat. It Sure. is a messaging app at its heart as well. And so to communicate with your community, I think that's why the platform is so successful. In fact, I was in a meeting with Snapchat the other day, and one of the guys said something really interesting, which is they see themselves as a messaging app where you go to the app to obviously chat with your friends, but they also see themselves as a TV station where when you're waiting for your friends to reply, you look at everyone else's or your friends' TV channels Sure. or what they call their stories. And it's a really interesting concept that, it's this messaging app where you just, when you're waiting for friends to reply to you, there's some content there for you to consume.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, it's been hit and miss at my end in regards to the actual content that I've watched. I think it's like anything else online. When something becomes really popular, everybody wants to give it a shot. But it's the same piece of advice I give to anybody starting on any platform across anything online. You can't just put out any old chaff. you do genuinely need to think about what you're going to be either recording or shooting or whatever the case may be. I have found, without a shadow of a doubt, the stuff that's worked really, really well for me is when I have four or five talking points and I'll produce maybe seven or eight snaps of 10 seconds a pop across the board and I'll shoot them all at once. And those numbers are almost identical every single time, almost identical. I mean, it's just, I think people just, they get turned on to the idea that you're going to keep going. They want to carry on watching. Right. Whereas with Twitter, for example, or even your Facebook page, they don't keep scrolling on your Twitter homepage, do they? You know what I mean? So it's a genuinely a very exciting platform to be on. But again, you've got to be careful what you put up there because you don't want to look like somebody who's just sort of trying it on, so to speak.
Exactly. Well, they call it a story. That's what it's called in Snapchat. You're combining a story. And the best way to think about it is it's a conveyor belt where you upload a snap. It lasts for 24 hours. And after that 24 hours, it drops off the conveyor belt. And, your snaps just move along, lasting for 24 hours each one. Yeah. And you're building up this story. And I think those people that sit down, think about their snaps, and as you say, record a couple at once and create a story, create a narrative, are the ones who are most successful on Snapchat. And certainly that's what, when I work with brands or, even when I create my own personal stories, I might not know what I'm doing for the day, but I'll maybe have an idea that I want to build a narrative or have some idea of a narrative that I want to, given my stories. When I work for a brand, I actually sit down with them and I say, okay, what are the key points that we want to get across? And I then build almost like a storyboard that we then go through before, and then we make it happen on the day. Because I like you, from a viewer perspective, the stories that I like to watch the most are the ones that do have a clear narrative and a clear direction, and ones that make me want to sit and watch the whole thing rather than just, oh, here's my cat. Oh, I'm eating lunch. oh, I'm going to bed, kind of, you know, which some people do. And that's fine. They're keeping people, you know, it works for them.
if it works for them, that's fine. But I mean, yeah, I think the majority of us that would deem ourselves as, you know, kind of quote unquote content creators and marketers, particularly, obviously, yeah, you know, the very average Youpreneur FM listener who is a personal brand business. They're either a coach or an author or a consultant or a speaker or a blogger or something. We're very, very aware of, or we should be very aware of, when we put out complete rubbish and when we put out something that does really well. Like, we feel confident about it. Yeah, you know, I've seen
broadcasters. Yeah, I was just going to say, this is exactly the problem that Periscope is facing right now, because it's that signal to noise ratio. They may be growing at an enormous rate and be getting more and more broadcasters on the app, but how many of them are actually producing good content that people would want to watch? And then that's actually creating a problem to them, because they may be having, you know, a huge percent of broadcasters, but if 80% of them are streaming their feet or their cat, it's actually making it even harder for good broadcasters to be discovered. And then that means, as a new user, you're coming onto the app and just seeing, you know, feet, cats, dinners and things like that. And yeah, you just think, well, what is this app? Why am I using this app? And I think that is going to be the biggest challenge for Periscope, which is how do they discover and find a live broadcast that has good content and then highlight it to the rest of its users? Once they figure out a way to do that, then I think the app will really grow. And then I think there's ways, especially for you, me, and you know, all of your listeners, to really monetize and benefit from the app.
How do you sort of see the repurposing of live video content developing? I mean, obviously, you know, as people who plan their content and want to keep it when it's good, you know, we didn't get the opportunity with Periscope at first, so we had to kind of find workarounds like screen capture software and things like that. Now it's a little easier because it's up there all the time. You can grab it whenever you want, sort of type of thing. And Facebook, obviously, it's on your feed. You can download it and everything. But I mean, for me, I like the idea of being able to repurpose my content from one platform to another. You know, putting something from Snapchat onto YouTube, from YouTube onto my blog, from my blog into an infographic, and so on and so on and so on.
Yeah.
And whenever we do it, mate, whenever we do it, we see brilliant numbers from it, because the effort is worth it. And it is an effort, but I feel like we should be focusing in on it a little bit more. But with live video, it's always been a little tough. Where do you see maybe that developing in terms of tech, and then just in terms of software, and where people might be focusing on it?
Well, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. You want to do it because the results of doing it and the results of driving, you know, your followers from one platform to the other is huge, and you want to be cross-pollinating all of your platforms. So I think you're completely right to be asking the question, how do we do it with live video? Periscope have made it slightly easier recently, as you say, by it, rather than having to do the almost hacky screen capturing things and putting it on YouTube. You don't have to do that anymore because it's automatically saved. They announced, I think it was last week, maybe the week before, that they're going to be allowing you to embed Periscope videos into your website as well, which will help massively. You know, you can now have, they're actually working on a whole embed player, so that you'll be able to just have one embed player, which will, I believe, pull in your latest live broadcast when you're on, or you can actually say, this is the broadcast I want to embed forever, if that makes sense. So you can, there's going to be a couple of different options with the embed player.
Yeah,
no, as far as I'm aware.
I love that. I mean, obviously, you know, YouTube has made it super easy for so long, and I think people have been just expecting it. Why do you think it's taken so long to come around to that point?
Honest answer, I think it is simply because Periscope is a tiny team. A lot of people make the mistake of thinking, Periscope is owned by Twitter, so they must have 500, 600 employees. Up until recently, or when they first launched, they had, I think, less than 20 employees. They have just reached 50 employees. so they've doubled in size over less than a year, really. And actually, I was speaking to them the other day. They're now at the point where they're overflowing from their office. So them as a team are building and expanding extremely rapidly. And I think, you know, it's that those teething issues with many startups where they have all these hopes and dreams and they want to get them out and they really do want to please their users, but it's incredibly hard and sometimes slow to do so at first.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree. I mean, from my end, I still pop on a Periscope every now and then. And let me tell you, when I do actually do so, I always get a warm reception. I always have good people, but the numbers have dropped. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Do you suggest that people stay consistent on Periscope in the coming months as they continue to roll things out? Or do you think maybe it's, you know, they should sort of do a little bit of that and a little bit of Facebook Live and a little bit of, because there's only so many hours in the bloody day, right?
Yeah. So look, I am a Periscoper. That's where my audience is. But I will still say to anyone that asks me, do not put all your eggs in one basket. And that's exactly why I'm working on Snapchat. That's exactly why I'm working on Facebook Live as well. And I'm building up another platforms. However, saying that, I will say, don't drop Periscope just yet. Don't think, oh, the numbers are going down, I'm not going to bother with it anymore. I think you'll see within the next 6 months or so some really interesting changes coming that will help.
Now we're getting scoops here because I know you're quite close to the team.
I have to say as well, and I don't have any inside information or anything like that, but you know, there's whispers on the grapevines of things to come, and if they are true, then I think that it's an interesting time. And you know, I'm not going to say that the battle between Facebook and Periscope will get even more interesting, but I'm sure, you know, a year down the line there will still be a battle to be had, and it'll be a close fight.
Good. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I know you are as well. Any sort of passing or parting tips that you would like to share to the Youpreneur FM listeners in regards to actually using live video across all these channels to really continue to build upon their brands and obviously the monetize as well? What sort of parting wisdom can you give us?
I just think the biggest parting wisdom that I could give you, and it's the mistake that 99% of brands really do make when they try these apps out, whether it's Facebook Live or whether it's Periscope, it's the fact that you have to be interactive. I've seen so many broadcasts where people just forget about the comments, and you could have done exactly the same thing on YouTube and it would have been in full HD quality and much better. The whole reason you're doing it on Periscope is because you are talking to your community live and they are wanting to talk to you. So don't ignore the comments, use the comments as well. You know, as a, you may be featuring your product, you may be, you know, holding it up to the screen and showing it. There's going to be, whilst you're doing that, people asking you questions about your product. They might be saying, asking you how much it is. They might be asking you, you know, well, what's the feature of X and what's the feature of Y? Use those comments, because what that does is it's a great feedback loop and helps to promote your product more. One of the things that I see a lot when I talk about products on my broadcast, I often have people coming in saying, oh yeah, I've got that, it's really good. And that's like your Amazon review. You know how when you go and buy something, or when you book a holiday, you always look on TripAdvisor first, or when you go and buy something, you always do a little bit of searching on Amazon reviews first or something. It's exactly the same on Periscope. If you've got your fans in there saying, yeah, you know what, I bought that and it's great, anyone else who is maybe teetering on the edge of buying one instantly goes to the page and buy one, because they can see that other people have got it, and it's that instant review mechanism.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you. And, you know, we had some great, when we launched Youpreneur last September on Periscope, we actually went live on Periscope with it before I even emailed my list.
Remember.
Yeah. And I, you know, for the month or so prior to going live, I was on Periscope daily talking about the program, talking about the community, what we had planned for it. But what everybody watching didn't know was that everything that I was saying was fundamentally from our landing page, from our sales page. So I was using headline statements. I was using pain points that we were going to be bringing up as along with the rebuttals to those pain points and everything. And there were some things that fell totally flat. And guess what? We took them off the sales page. But there were some things that rang really loud, really true. Like, the tagline, the entrepreneurial community where nobody gets left behind. huge. It went off the charts. The comments, the hearts were over the top every single time I said it. And that is literally right at the top of the landing page for youpreneur.com.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a great way, like you say, to validate and to build up a little bit of tribe mentality whenever you're talking about what you want to sell as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say that is the way to go, because you can really tailor things to, and before you release them, to know what your audience already want, because you've already given these hints and you've already, you know, tested the water. You know, I'm the live streaming consultant for NBC Universal, and we're doing just that. Rather than coming up with TV shows and just going to the commissioner and saying, hey, what do you think of this? We're now looking at the idea of creating a pilot episode, putting it out on Facebook Live or putting it out on Periscope first and getting people's comments about it and deciding, you know, what needs to be changed before we then take it to a commissioner to put it on TV. So I think don't write off the power of certainly Periscope, but also of live streaming. It's got a long way to come, but it is a power with a huge force to it.
Yeah, agreed 100%. Now, I have one last question for you. It's quite a selfish one, but I have to ask it. Obviously, you were there the weekend with Virgin Racing. You were there. I saw pictures of you with the cars. And you were in the midst of my entrepreneurial hero, Sir Richard Branson. What's he like? What's he like to hang out with in person? Because it's one of my goals to actually be able to get the opportunity to hopefully meet him one day.
I had the very lucky opportunity this weekend to actually hang out with him. And he is a lovely, lovely guy who is very bubbly and smiley, and was just very, pretty much the whole day was bouncing around the garage, loving the day as much as we all were. And you know what? He is one of my entrepreneurial. I was trying to keep, you know, where you're round one of your idols, because he is one of my entrepreneurial idols as well. And I was like, I've just got to remain professional all day. Yeah. And then I broke it once, because he has, and you'll know this, Chris, he has this saying, screw it, just do it.
Yes.
And I was like, I need to get him to say it. So I have a little video of him saying, screw it, just do it. I was like, so Richard, I'm really sorry. It's coming to the end of the day. But yeah, and I spoke to him and he did it. And he's a very lovely guy. And
was that live? Did you put it live? Was it on Snapchat or anything?
No, I didn't put it live.
So this is just a little personal thing between Sir Richard and Alex. Yeah. Right.
And, you know, I did it because there's always struggles and things like that. And between you and, well, between me and you and your audience, you know, there have been times where I've thought, maybe it's time to drop Periscope, or maybe it's time to not do this anymore.
Yeah.
And so whilst I was there, I was like, let's get a little pep talk from Sir Richard Branson. So I recorded this 5-second video, and whenever I feel like that, I'll just watch it.
I love it. I think it's great. Alex, thanks for coming back on the show, man. I enjoyed the chat. A real kind of fireside conversation here on live video. I think it's something that and I've been obviously harping on about it for well over a year now, but I think if you guys tuning in, if you're not getting active on all the platforms that Alex and I discussed today, you really, truly need to, because this really is the way that things are moving, particularly for people that are building their businesses around their brands. Alex, thanks again for coming back on. I really appreciate your time, brother.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. You can find out more about Alex and what he's all about, alex.live. That and the link to everything else that he's got going on will be at the show notes over at chrisducker.com/episode176. I'll be back at you again next week. Until then, go shoot some live video. Bye for now.
If the idea of an entrepreneurial community where you get to learn from the best in the business, as well as rub shoulders, gain support, have access to immediate feedback, as well as nonstop accountability from your peers, is something that excites you, then visit youpreneur.com for more information and to get started on building a business you can truly be proud of today. That's youpreneur.com. We'll see you on the inside.